Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with In Bleakest Winter with Sir Croakington. And while I was waiting, apparently the game updated again and I was plunged back to my last save point. So I'm going to take this opportunity to climb the hill again, but in a different way. This time I went the different direction, and now you're taken aback when a fur-clad figure suddenly emerges from the billowing snow. The figure turns to face you, and you're startled to find yourself looking into the kindly eyes of an elderly woman. The woman's hands, clad in thick fur mittens, rest atop a tall iron lever that extends down into the packed snow at her feet. "Which way ought I to move it? Left or right?" she asks. Her voice clear and strong, and her tone wife. And her tone wife, what he can only describe as genuine concern. One way will usher in an age of calamity, the other will bring to pass an epoch of destruction. All right, how about you just don't touch it at all? That seems to be the best example, because both seem pretty bad. Something about the woman's face is immediately familiar to you. But there's no time to dwell on the notion. You feel compelled to promptly answer her query. So once again, you're faced with a choice and no way of knowing which is the right choice. So as often happens in cases like this, I shall go to random.org. I should have loaded that up in advance, but oh well. Because of course I knew from the last time that... Wait, here we go. It's number 2, so move it to the right. The old woman nods and promptly pushes the tall lever to the right. Is that my right or her right? Almost immediately, the snow surrounding the lever begins to melt away, revealing an iron chest hidden beneath the deepening blanket of white. "'Tis as I feared it would be!" cries the woman, throwing her hands over her face and sinking to her knees in the snow. A powerful compulsion to open the chest takes hold at the thought of your thoughts. Now I have a choice. Open the chest or not. I can go for, random dog. Number 1, apparently I'm opening the chest. I open the chest. You move over to the chest and throw open its lid, only to discover the interior of the iron box appears to be a black, fathomless void. The shadowy, eyeless, indistinct face of a man suddenly takes form within the void. "Join me in the infinite!" issues a stern voice from somewhere seemingly behind the motionless face. "We might consider and reflect upon those you've abandoned." Oh no. Vark! That's Vark! I'm thinking about Vark. Those whose promise you failed to realise. Those who now toil towards upsetting the very outcomes you desire. Come, join me and we will make sense of everything. You certainly feel compelled to reach inside into the void inside the chest. So reach into the chest or not. Once again, I'll go to random.org, number 2. I'll remain as I am. "Then it is not to be," issues the voice from somewhere but this used the voice from somewhere behind the shadowy face. Of course, it was never meant to be. How could it have been? Your doom is known. Your path has been selected. Your story has already been written. All that remains is for you to accept it. The face suddenly vanishes and is immediately replaced by a far more sinister image. The glowering face of Woundskin takes form in the void. The immortal ogre snorts and shakes his head. What you were just told is true, he grumbles. Your story is finished. Your time is nearly up. But take heart, because together we will tear asunder the old restrictive ways. Our path will lead us to the blissful nowhere of the infinite. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. Yep, well, that makes sense. That's the sort of thing that Woundskin does. With your very next breath, your surroundings begin to blur. A frigid blast of wind lashes your face as your surroundings slowly come back into focus. There is no longer any sign of the woman or the iron chest. For you easily be certain you were still standing in the stained spot you only moments ago. With your bewilderment growing, you once again resume your lonely trek towards the distant flickering light. You stagger on through the blizzard, doing your best to conceal any exposed flesh from the raging storm's deadly fury. It's the same check as all the other times I've had to endure the blizzard, so pick now. 134 success. As you continue towards a distant flickering light, something looms out of the swirling snow ahead. Yeah. A dull orange glow you've been endeavouring to reach suddenly looms out the swirling snow ahead. You start to discover that the flickering light is cast by a small fire. Next to it sits a grey-haired woman clad in a ragged assortment of cloth and furs. I wasn't certain you'd be coming this way, she says, rising. I would have done something to hasten your journey, had I known. But I'm not sure it would have worked. Just thinking about it makes my head swim. And that's the truth. Seems strange, doesn't it? That is to say, all of this is strange and awful. Well, I have to say, it's not as strange as some of what you've run into since you met up with those wolves. You shouldn't have left the world, you know. Do you know that? I think you do. For you find it difficult to sort through the jumble of disparate thoughts tumbling through your mind, you manage to pose a semi-coherent question to the grey-haired woman. You ask her what it is you're doing. Okay, and this is pretty much the same as when I got to the top of the hill before. Alright, yep. Careless, considerate, cool and compassionate in every breath, blah blah blah. Resist. There's the going mad check. Pick now. 143 success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. Hopelessly clutching at her temples, you close your eyes and moan in agony as the silent war begins to ebb, its maddening resonance slowly fading into nothingness out of which it erupted. There's a power in you that none could ever properly describe, says the woman, her tone suddenly deferential. The hill is not something that most can see without losing their hold on reality. You are either to undo the impending calamity or hasten the realization of its wicked promise. You are wondering which it will be. Suddenly, and there's Woundskin, and da ba da ba da. Things we've seen this before in the, I think at least one previous episode, maybe two. Yeah, anyway, and we go. Oh yeah, and okay, and now we're back to what we said we were going to do. The trial of choices. 30 choices, each with 3 options. Unfortunately for the simplicity of doing this, not only are the order of your questions come in randomised, but the order of your answers in each question is also randomized. So I'm going to have to try and remember which ones I've done. In Twindmoor, underbelly exposed. In Twindmoor, you uncover a shadowy confederacy composed of a handful of city officials and a trusted advisor to one of the kingdom's thanes. You discover that the sinister cabal is working hand in hand with the Night Whisperers. You have a law book entry, but we read that last time, so whenever you want to look it up, you can just go to swift.com. There's a link to the full law book right on the main page, so easy peasy to find if you want to. Fearsome Brotherhood of Thieves based in Warsaw. The web of corruption and deceit spun by the traitorous leagues extends into nearly every corner of the city and appears to control most aspects of Twindmoor governance. So it seeks to take part in the unscrupulous enterprise, attempt to blackmail the Confederation, or publicly expose the sinister Confederation. Well, we've done the last one. Seek to take part in this unscrupulous enterprise. Your decision is made. You attempt to partake in the unhanded enterprises met resistance from the members of the Confederation, though you're eventually allowed to join their ranks. Less than a year later, the shadowy organization is exposed for what it is, leading to the death or imprisonment of nearly every Confederate. For you manage to evade justice, the atrocities to which you were witness during your time with the group will forever haunt you. Your thoughts subtly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. And on to the next one, that sinking feeling. Desperate cries of help lead you along a meandering path through a tangled bog and up to the edge of a weedy, muck-filled morass. Sinking into a pool of mud, only his upper torso still visible, is a middle-aged man with a long scar down his right side of his face. You immediately recognise him to be the murderous brigand, whose most recent crimes include the wanton slaying of travellers he robbed along the roads throughout the region. The wanted man, his perceptible fear in his eyes and a desperate edge to his voice, call out for you to help him escape the deadly grip of the swamp as it steadily drags him under. So save him, let him go, leave him to perish, or save him from the deadly predicament and capture him. We've done the last one, so save him and let him go. Decision is made. Some clever tactics and a swift bit of work. Swift bit of work allow you to resume the map to free the man from his oozing mire. Once he's back in on solid ground, covered from head to toe in muck, you tell him he's free to go. He thanks you before making his way out of the swamp, eager and keen to resume his wicked ways. Well, he didn't have any epiphanies at all. Your thoughts subtly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. On to the next one. Time grows short. A powerful blizzard sweeps across the vast region of eastern Telsa, burying the kingdom as its ravaging wilds and bitter chill exacts a deadly toll. While sheltering in a mountain village, you learn that several inhabitants of the nearby settlement have gone missing in the wilderness. Unless they are found quickly, they will surely perish. As the search for the lost people is about to get underway, with you leading the effort, there emerge two opposing notions regarding their likely whereabouts. An eccentric sorcerer, who dwells on the outskirts of the village, claims that with the help of his magic, he's determined that the missing people have taken refuge in an old fort in the rugged foothills. His assertion is immediately dispelled by the grizzled, well-respected woodsman, who believes it's most likely the seven villagers are trapped in a deep valley at the foot of the mountain. So last time I trusted the woodsman, now I'll trust a sorcerer. Decision is made. Placing your trust in what the sorcerer said, you lead the search party to a ruined fort in snowbound foothills. After a thorough search of the fort turned up no sign of the lost villagers. The missing people discovered sheltering in a vale at the foot of the mountain, half frozen and close to death. With only a heroic effort, they were able to effect a rescue that safely returns each and every one of them to their homes. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. On to the next one. A fire wages. At Mole's Nose Inn, a favoured hostel of the eastern end of Byre Pass is engulfed in flames. Rushing towards the inferno, your ears are greeted by a terrifying whinny of several horses trapped in the inn's attached stable, which has just caught fire. You're about to run towards the stable when a ghastly sound rises above the roar of the insatiable flames. Looking up, you spot several people trapped in the inn's second floor, screaming for help. For you to help them escape, getting any closer to the main building or the stables could prove deadly. So, rescue the people, rescue the horses, buckle off. And last time I rescued the horses, this time I rescue the people. Your decision's made. You valiantly fight your way through the smoke and fire and succeed in rescuing all those trapped on the inn's upper level. Only seconds after you escort the last person to safety, a loud groan fills the air as the structure's upper level collapses into the first. A brave young woman whose heroic deeds will one day spare the kingdom an epoch of tumult is among those who save from the burning inn. Your every thought is now subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one. 5. The careening wagon. You look on in horror as the driverless wagon, laden with casks and drawn by a pair of spooked draft horses, careens through the crowded town square. Screams fill the air as people dash and dive out of the wagon's wild path as it hurtles towards the far side of the bustling quadrangle. Suddenly, you catch sight of a young boy and an elderly woman, a few feet from each other, frozen in terror, as the out-of-control wagon bears down on them. Without a second thought, you sprint in their direction, realizing you won't have enough time to try and save both of them. Alright, so rescue the child, rescue the old woman, attempt to stop the wagon. Okay, last time I rescued the child, now the old woman. Your decision is made. With little regard for your own safety, you rush into the road and push the old woman out of the path of the careening wagon. The wagon hurtles past, coming within inches of you, and missing the oblivious child by only a few feet. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Your head swims as and on to the next one, without hesitation. You and three of your closest adventuring companions accept the lucrative task of guarding a merchant caravan as it winds its way through the rugged foothills of the Southern Fedorin Range. Near the remains of a long-abandoned outpost, the train of wagons is ambushed by a savage band of mountain goblins. A powerful shaman leads the fearsome horde and launches a deadly flame attack that swiftly engulfs the wagons, killing many of the passengers outright and trapping others inside a pair of burning coaches. Having narrowly escaped from one of the wagons, you're suddenly faced with a grim decision. To your left, the desperate cries of your companions ring out from within a fire-engulfed wagon. To your right, inside the blazing remains of a heavy coach, the terrified squeaks of a group of people unknown to you rise above the ghastly roar of the flames. There isn't enough time to try and save both groups. So, companions, the unknown people, all just run away. Watch the aid of your companions. Decisions made. You manage to free your scratched companions scant moments before a billowing inferno consumes the twisted wreckage. Despite a valiant effort, you and your companions are unable to rescue the rest of the trapped passengers, and they perish in the flames. Your thoughts subtly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one, lessons learned. The young lad, whose nimble fingers nearly succeeded in relieving you of your coin purse, squirms and curses as you tighten your grip on his wrist. Two guardsmen, having apparently witnessed the thwarted act of thievery, rush over and take custody of the child. As the guards turn to leave with the crestfallen pickpocket in the charge, the young boy flashes you a pleading look and silently mouths what you believe is an apology. So ask the guards to let the lad go, get him to haul him off. Or ask the guards to release the boy into custody while we let him go. Haul off the young thief. Decisions made. The guards take the child away to face nothing more than a stern reprimand for his attempted crime. Years from now, the infamous Master Thief will fondly look back on the time he nearly picked the pocket of the great adventurer Sir Croakington. Okay, that's pretty similar to the other option. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Next one, Goblin's Plea. Late one evening, on the desolate road east of Tantalus, you happen upon an encampment of soldiers transporting fugitives to a nearby outpost, where they'll face justice for their crimes. As half a dozen soldiers mill about the fire, one of the prisoners, an elderly goblin who's bound to the back of one of the wagons, begs for you to set him free, telling him he's due to be hanged tomorrow. The goblin tells you he's accused of robbing travellers on this very road, who he contends he never stole anything from anyone. He hastily adds that his kin will starve in the wilds if he does not return to them. So free the goblin, leave him bound, kill him. Free the goblin. You quickly free the goblin. The grateful creature thanks you, pressing a crude wooden talisman into your hand before making good his escape. The deceitful goblin's spree of robbery and murder resumes the very next day. Well, that's rude. At last comes to an end several months later, thanks to the well-placed arrow of a vigilant woodsman, far more vigilant than me, apparently. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one, a vile tome. In a hidden chamber in the bowels of the ruined fortress, during a quest to recover an enchanted gauntlet, you unearth a massive leather-bound tome. The heavy book is filled with descriptions of strange, ancient and malevolent magic. You immediately deem its contents to be dangerous, possibly in ways unfathomable. You desire to hand the book over to those capable of learning, of safely learning its secrets. It's tapered by the thought of its foul magic being inadvertently released upon an unsuspecting world. Now, I forget which one I did. Oh dear. So, present to mages, leave the tome where you found it, or destroy the tome. Thing is, I went through this again, and I'm not mixing which ones I did the first time round and which ones I did. Oh, leave the tome where you found it. I'm sure I haven't done that before. Decision's made. You opt to leave the tome where you found it, believing that the ancient magic detailed in the leather-bound book is too dangerous to be revealed. Years later, another adventure, following clues she discovered in one of your tattered journals, discovers the tome and brings it out of the shadows and into a world utterly unprepared for the calamities discovery portends. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one, Pay the Dragon. Hired to deliver a tribute of gold and jewels to the ancient stone dragon whose foul shadow has long loomed over the Felidanese mining town of Junbrick. You make your way to the creature's lair in the craggy foothills. Junbrick's mining council, its governing body, has made it plain that they wish to pay the creature the tribute it demands and not risk angering the mighty creature. Upon entering the dragon's cave, you discover the beast deep in slumber. Despite the danger involved, you're all but certain you can slay the sleeping dragon with relative ease if you so desired. So make the tribute. The last time we did that, we learned the tribute was poisoned. Attempt to negotiate the dragon's departure, or attempt to kill the sleeping dragon. Alright, negotiate the dragon's departure. Your decision is made. Your attempt to negotiate the dragon's departure does not go over well. The stone dragon, having taken great offence at the suggestion he vacate his lair and seek a residence elsewhere, knocks you aside, flies off in a rage and razes the town of Junbrick, killing everyone, not toiling away in the safety of the mines. Well, that went badly. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. Next one, Ascription. In the Chamber of Seven Scars, before gathering of the court, the Archmage of Kalbrek presents you with an enchanted, gem-encrusted amulet in recognition of a successful recovery of a magical staff that has long served his illustrious line. As those gathered erupt in applause at the sounding of the name, you catch the sight of Elagar standing at the back of the crowd, the young, timid spellcaster, often the target of the cruel humour of others, was your reluctant companion on the quest, and proved instrumental in the discovery and retrieval of the staff. Without Elagar's help at several critical junctures, you're certain the staff would never have been recovered. So I can give Elagar the credit he deserves. Did that before, and he becomes the next mage and passes the amulet on to someone else. So I can privately thank him, or I can say no, privately thank Elgar. Following the ceremony, you take Elagar aside and privately thank him for his invaluable role in the quest to receive the staff. The modest apprentice's eyes light up and his jaw goes slack when you present him with the gem-encrusted amulet you just received. Your thoughts subtly turn to faces and voices long lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one. Winter's Waft. A fierce winter storm rages across a vast swath of the North Broadlands. Struggling to make your way through the howling blizzard as night sets in, you stumble upon a group of desperate travellers huddled in a small hollow that does little to shelter them from the storm's vicious bite. Nearby the imposing tower of a powerful sorcerer rises up at the edge of the forest, a lonely visage of the civilized world in this remote corner of the frozen wilds. The travellers tell you the wizard believes them to be thieves, as refused to allow them in the tower, despite the perilous weather. The prospect of having to spend the night in the storm-ravaged wild is not a comforting one. Okay, I'm pretty sure I was just... Last time I just seeked refuge in the tower for myself. So brave the storm in the traveller's camp. Shit is made. The storm rages for most of the night, but you and your band of travellers, with each equal parts fortitude and resourcefulness, manage to survive the winter's deadly waft. Your thoughts turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one, gravely wounded.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You aid a rugged band of fellow adventurers as they track down and confront an ogre suspected of attacking travellers along a lonely stretch of road near the city of Pakwar. In the ensuing melee, the beast nearly kills two of your party members before sustaining a grievous wound and taking flight into the thick of the forest. Unwilling to allow the ogre to escape, you and your companions split up and search the tangled wood. Not long after, you find the ogre taking shelter in a stony hollow. The fearsome creature is gravely wounded and near death. The ogre, lacking both the strength and the will to fight, pleads with you to mercifully end his life. So last time, yeah, I did kill him, but this time, you should make his escape. The ogre tells him to flee, telling him you do what you can to stall the search party. Distrustful at first, the creature ultimately staggers off into the thick of the forest, quickly passing out of sight. Months later, having miraculously recovered, the ogre comes to the aid of travellers ambushed by goblins, and valiantly fends off the vicious creatures, allowing the humans to escape. Well, that turned out all right. Every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one. Evening the odds. In a rung-down quadrangle in Twithick's northern section, you happen upon a grim scene. Three men, wielding cudgels, are seemingly making sport of an unarmed man, whose bloodied face betrays the brutal treatment he's received. One of the assailants, the largest of the trio, steps forward and raises his weapon as the unarmed man attempts to position himself to block the imminent blow. So I can step in and defend the unarmed man, do nothing, or toss the unarmed man a blow. And last time I did nothing, so I'm going to step in this time. You leap into the fray and move to stand shoulder to shoulder with the unarmed man. He seems startled by your sudden arrival, but smiles and nods when you hand him a weapon. Within moments, your three opponents take flight, having suddenly lost their nerve. Well, with Sir Crokington around, that makes sense. The man thanks you and hands the weapon back before darting off along the lane. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one. 15 of 30, adoring eyes. You watch as the grey-clad archer slowly lowers his drawn bow, pointing the tip of his arrow at the distant target. A hush falls over the gathered onlookers. The archer, about to take his third shot in the tournament, attended by many of the realm's best bowmen, for which the grand prize is a magical amulet, closes one eye and softly exhales. Once again, you catch a glimpse of a faint silver light flickering on the tips of the archer's fingers. It's the same strange light you spotted just before the man loosed his two previous perfectly aimed placed shots. The grey-clad archer is using some sort of magic to guide his arrows. The man's two young children, standing at the fore of the sizable crowd of spectators, stares adoringly at their father as he prepares to fire. So I can reveal the cheating archer, attempt to undermine the cheating archer, or just leave him be. I revealed him last time, and then someone shot at me, presumably him. Endeavour to undermine the shooting archer. You covertly work to undermine the archer's ability to cheat at the contest, and manage to thwart his devious efforts at nearly every turn. Finally, frustrated by the success of your secret toils, he abandons his underhanded tactics and instead relies upon his true steel with a bow. Much to your surprise, even without cheating, he easily takes first place in the tournament and is awarded the magical amulet, much to the delight of his adoring children. Hours later, shortly after selling the amulet, the archer pays to acquire the services of a master healer to tend to his stricken wife as she struggles to survive a deadly illness. Oh, okay. It worked out. And also, he was quite justified. But, I mean, for all we know, other people taking part in the contest had equally dramatically necessary reasons to win. Who knows? Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one. Don't let them catch me. While stepping out from beneath one of the grand arches leading into Triffic's Blade Square, you spot a pair of guardsmen quickly, swiftly pursuing a young boy. The nimble, fleet-footed lad dodges in and out of the midday throng that fills the quadrangle as his determined pursuers steadily fall behind. As the boy reaches the arch, he suddenly ducks behind you and pleads for you to keep him hidden. Moments later, two guards appear out of the crowd and rush towards the arch, passing perilously close to the now concealed quarry. So I could reveal the child, hide the child and determine the reason for his trouble, hide the child and move on. Reveal the child to the guards. You betray the young boy's location to the guards. The youngster, scowling and curse at you, is promptly taken into custody and led away. Next one, unworthy of life. The chance encounter with the mysterious woman in Migsville leads her to making a strange and unsettling request. The woman tells you he's been tasked with killing a man whose countless crimes are too vile to describe. He's a veritable beast in the guise of a man, she says. He's utterly unworthy of life and a danger to all who have the misfortune of making his acquaintance. She tells you the man spends most of his time drunk at the Blue Barrel Ale House and offers to pay you handsomely if you succeed in slipping a few drops of poison into his ale. Okay, last time I poisoned him, so this time I'm just going to refuse the task. Only a moment after you refuse the task, the woman who attempted to hire you is apprehended by a trio of city guardsmen who accuse her of plotting to kill a venerable official of the River Guild. Okay, I guess that's that. A dragon hunted. A trio of experienced dragon hunters arrive in town nearly one morning, seeking to locate the hidden lair of a dragon that's responsible for a deadly attack on their wagon caravan. As you listen to the men describe the gruesome incident, your heart skips a beat. You met and befriended the very dragon they were talking about only a few days ago, when the ancient creature swooped in to defend you from a forest troll ambush. After devouring the trolls, the dragon invited you to his cleverly concealed lair, and the two of you enjoyed a lengthy and insightful conversation. Aware of your reputation as an adventurer, the hunters ask if you've heard anything about the dragon taking up residence anywhere in a nearby forest. So I could say, betray, join in, say nothing. Okay, betray. You tell the hunters where to find the dragon's forest lair, and before the day is out, the ancient dragon draws its final breath. Well, that's bad. Your thoughts subtly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. A Babel prophecy. Near the quayside in Port Halleck, you're approached by a rugged beggar who's keen to ramble to you about the unsettling premonition he's had regarding the fate of a ship due to embark on a long voyage. You listen with growing suspicion as the beggar's outlandish account of his vision, which ends with the ship being dragged into the depths by the fearsome sea creature. Despite your instinct to disregard his wavings, the ship he's mentioning is presently docked at the far end of the quay. It'll be simple, though potentially through potentially humiliating to Will Aethebecker's bizarre warning to the captain and crew of the vessel in question. Well, okay, tell the captain, don't tell the captain off the information. Sell the information. Warn the captain about the beggar's vision. Risking ridicule, you relay the beggar's warning to the captain's ship in question. You're startled when the captain tells you he's recently had visions similar to those related to you by the beggar. Despite the costly prospect of delaying his voyage, the captain tells you he will, for the time being, see to some much-needed repairs to his vessel rather than take to sea. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Your head swims as your thoughts slowly return to focus. The scene where just blah, 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 blah. Savagery and honour. Without a second thought, you charge to the aid of a small band of fellow Lee's knight, struggling to fend off the savage goblin horde that's nearly succeeded in overrunning their remote outpost. Your unexpected appearance in the midst of the goblins helps to turn the tide of the battle. Many of the goblins flee into the forest, leaving behind their chain-clad chieftain and a handful of his elite kin. The chieftain, a fearless and deadly combatant, slays three knights with his stone axe as he fights to break off the bewildered kind. Suddenly, you're presented with an opportunity to attack the chieftain from behind. You're certain that if you can remain undetected, you'll be able to fell the gruesome goblin with a single blow and shatter the resolve of his remaining warriors. So I can attack him from behind, honourably challenge him, decide against attacking him. I think I've decided against attacking him. He killed more people, so honourably challenge him. You call out to the goblin chieftain and challenge him to battle. A fearsome look momentarily crosses the savage goblin's charred face as he turns to face the human bold enough to seek to engage him. The remainder of the goblin company shrieks wildly as the chieftain suddenly bounds forward, his stone axe poised to cleave your torso in half. But he'll die anyway. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Another one. Who has to know? In the depths of a sprawling Advari tomb, you and your two companions at last discover the chest that you hope contains the magical scroll for which you've repeatedly risked life and limb. While your cohorts guard the chamber entrances, lest any of the tomb's undead guardians should reappear, you turn your attention to the chest. After determining the chest is neither locked nor trapped, you tip back its weighty lid and discover it contains not only the magical scrolls you hope to find, but two other extremely valuable scrolls. Your companions haven't yet seen, and seen what you found in the chest, so I could keep the scrolls for myself, share the scrolls, or secretly keep the two extra scrolls for myself. Share the scrolls. Reveal the two additional scrolls to companions, and the three of you immediately make plans to sell the artifact and equally divide the bounty of gold they're certain to fetch. It's a happy and profitable outcome to what has been a long and dangerous quest. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one, the Assure Orb. Having recovered the legendary Assure Orb from the ancient tomb of the Sorcerer Lord, you're on your way to present the healing orb to a man who hired you to acquire it when the foul weather forces you to spend the night in a ramshackle inn. The innkeeper, who suffers from a virulent strain of swamp rot, confides in you he's only a few months left to live, as he fears for the welfare of his wife and children after his passing. You realise immediately the magic contained in the Assure Orb could almost certainly rid him of the deadly affliction. However, using the orb in this manner would likely render the artifact powerless, and thus worthless to the man who's already paid you handsomely for his recovery. So I could use the orb or not. I don't know what I did the last time. I'm so silly. Alright, last time I decided against using the orb. So I'm going to use the orb to cure the innkeeper. Decision is made. you employ the powers of the Azure Orb and heal the innkeeper's deadly affliction. The grateful man and his family are overjoyed and promise to somehow repay your kindness, though you repeatedly tell them no such repayment is necessary. The man and hired and paid you to recover the orb is at first dismayed when he explains to him the magic has been spent, though he's happy to learn it's been put to good use, and tells you to keep the gold he's already given you. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Okay. On to the next one. A trial of court choices. Dream evil. Over the course of several weeks, you begin to experience strange, sinister dreams that gradually take a more sinister turn. The dreams ultimately spiral into nightmarish visions that involve you inflicting great harm upon yourself and others with no apparent rhyme or reason to the gruesome violence. At first, you have little recollection of the dreams. However, the grim images that make up your unwelcome nighttime imaginings begin to haunt your every waking moment. So, last time I confided in another. So this time, confided in another and it just got passed on to the next person. So this time I'll just ignore it. Ignore it. Your attempt to ignore the nightmare seems to work. The dark visions invading your thoughts and dreams gradually lessen in severity before disappearing altogether. Well, didn't expect that would work, but it did. Your thoughts turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one. A bully's fate. Buffagor, a notorious cad and unrepentant bully, whose long-standing campaign of terror has afflicted profound harm on the village of Dovelhead, has recently escalated his unprovoked violent harassment of the exasperated citizenry. The tormentor's latest outrages include publicly humiliating an elderly man, and accidentally stumbled into him and breaking the arm of the village smithy after first making lurid, divisive comments about his wife. You learn of Bofricor's tactics while passing through Dovelhead on your way to the eastern region of the kingdom, and immediately tempted to take the matter of the bully into your own extremely capable hands. So I could urge the populace to wise up, diplomatically convince the bully to wend his may, or whoop the bully's ass. Urge the populace to wise up. Decision is made. You gather most of Dovelhead's citizenry in the village meeting house, and assess they band together to take action against Bofregar. Urged on by your inspiring words, a group of villagers immediately sets out and apprehends the notorious bully. After an episode of rough treatment at the hands of some of the victims of his tormenting, Bofregar is placed in Dovelhead's seldom used socks and subjected to an entire day in the role of a squirming target for some overly ripened vegetables. Bofregar, never again. Once the terror of Dovelhead, never again inflicts himself upon another living soul. Your every thought is subtly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. And the next one. A lone survivor. Hired as a guard for a wagon of prisoners being transported to Talos to face justice for their crimes. Your skills are tested when you come under attack by a band of roughnecks loyal to your captives. A fierce battle ensues, during which the driver, the other four guards, and all but one of the prisoners are killed. The lone surviving prisoner, who, much to your astonishment, fought valiantly at your side against three men who attacked the wagon, pleads with you to let him go free. Despite his valour during the skirmish, you know the man to be a murderous thief, who likely faces the hangman's noose upon arrival in the capital. So, last time I killed him, now I can set him free, or deliver him to Talos. Unwilling to allow the surviving prisoner's recent valour to redress his murderous misdeeds, you you remand him into your custody and deliver him to face justice in Talos. 2 days later, he attempts to flee as being led to the scaffold from which he is being hanged and is summarily cut down by the blades of 2 guardsmen. Okay. On to the next one. Your thoughts suddenly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. The way of the wolf. Deep in the tangled snare of the forest, you come upon a wolf caught in a hunter's snare. The creature snarls viciously as you approach, but quickly abandons its bravado and begins whimpering pitifully as it gnaws at the thick rope binding its back legs. Without your help, the wolf will surely die in the trap. However, as you look upon the wolf, a haunting premonition invades your thoughts. You envision yourself setting through the wolf, only to have the creature later attack and kill a pair of travellers in this very wood. So last time, I killed the wolf. This time I'll just leave the wolf to die in the snare. You leave the wolf in the merciless grip of the cruel snare, unwilling to allow the creature to go free and possibly harm innocent people. Your thoughts turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Next one, Tale of Two Maps. About a friendly competition between you and a fellow adventurer resulting in you each acquiring a map. Acquiring a map that you believe shows the way to a hidden resting place of the legendary magical shield. However, having stolen a peek at your rival's map, you discover it will lead her to a place you've previously explored. A cave filled with deadly terror she's not likely to survive. So I could reveal what has been discovered to your rival. I think I've already did that. Allow your rival to follow her map into peril. I'll suggest you both use your map and share any spoils. We'll both use the same map. Come on. Clickety clickety click. Decision is made. Your rival is taken aback by a sudden and honest revelation about her map. She agrees to proposal. Thanks you for your generosity. And the two of you set off together in search of the magical shield. Your shared excursion proves to be the first of countless profitable adventures that the two of you will tackle together over the years to come. Okay, I think that might be the one we've did before. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Alright, yep, next one. No Better Brew. The burly innkeeper, nearly breathless after spending the last several minutes extolling the virtues of what he boastfully referred to as his best ever autumn brew, sets down before you a tall, frothing flat tankard. A dozen patrons, their curiosity piqued by the landlord's colourful description of the ale's unique and remarkable properties, crowd in around the table after which you're seated, eager to see if your opinion of the drink will match that of its exuberant brewer. You hesitate for a moment, glancing up at the faces leering down at you, before taking a long, slow sip. Putrid. It's all you can do to keep from gagging and forcibly expelling the foul liquid from your mouth. In fact, you're inclined to believe the water from a horse's trough would be more palatable. The three options are lie and shower his ale with glowing praise, decline to provide him with your opinion, or give him your honest and poor opinion of the ale. Give him the honest and poor opinion. Your decision is made. Your honest and negative appraisal of the ale brings a broad smile to the innkeeper's face. You startled to learn the ale you just tasted is a brew from a wyvern, and your assessment has solidified the innkeeper's opinion. His ale remains the best to be had for miles around. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't yet been and may never come to pass. Next one, innocent delusions. While passing through a small settlement, you encounter a young lad proudly boasting of his father's. Proudly boasting of his fa- proudly boasting to his friends and anyone else who would listen about the heroic exploits of his father, who was part of a regiment of soldiers fending off goblin incursions on the kingdom's eastern frontier. As chance would have it, you've just returned from the border and are familiar with the boy's father, a hopeless drunk who's been cast out of the regiment for cowardice and dereliction of duty. Three options: tell the boy publicly, tell the boy privately, or say nothing. Publicly tell the boy about his father. Your public account counts of the boy's father's true character and record serves to greatly embarrass the lad. He rejects what you've told him, as do those who were listening to him, who his tales. Months later, having completely abandoned the drink and served honourably in his regiment, his father returns home wounded, decorated, and deserving of the hero's welcome he receives. Your thoughts suddenly twist into an incoherent web of grim, foreboding images. And this one is The Merchant's Gold. On a lonely stretch of road near a destitute village in the remote corner of the kingdom, you happen upon a chest of gold that's only recently toppled from the back of a passing merchant's wagon. The merchant whose chest it is an honest, kind-hearted peddler who often parts with his wares at a loss for the benefit of those who cannot afford them. You could easily catch up with the merchant's wagon, no more than a mile down the road, and return to him the gold that is rightfully his. However, you also realise the gold could help to tend to the vital needs of the desperately impoverished inhabitants of the village. So I've got three options: keep the gold for myself, give the gold to the destitute village, or return the gold to the merchant. I've decided to return the gold. You return the chest to the grateful merchant, who later decides to give the residents of the impoverished village half the gold it contains. Your every thought is suddenly bent on things that haven't been and may never yet come to pass. Okay, there's one thing where I doubled up my choices for the map thing, A Tale of Two Maps. We both used the same map twice, so I'm going to have to quickly click through things so we can see a second option. Make another set of choices. State your desire to make another set of choices. Okay, I'm just going to be quickly clicking through these until I get to the map one. Okay, we're back to the map. Okay, so reveal what I've discovered to your rival. Your rival is taken aback. It's backed by your sudden and honest revelation about her map. Reluctant, she decides that she has to believe what you've told her and abandons any notion of following the map. Days later, however, she's only to fall victim to the savage and deadly violence of another, less friendly rival, keen on acquiring what he believes to be the map to a legendary shield. And it isn't. Well, so he gets his as well. Your thoughts slowly turn to faces and voices lost in the dim haze of the distant past. Okay, and I'm just going to quickly click my way through these rest of them. I'm on to 29. Okay, now we have two of the three choices selected for every single option. And I've written down on a little table which choices I've already chosen, so I won't have to remember and risk doing any doublies. Next time round, we'll do the final choices, and you know what, we'll probably just go on from there. Just to see what happens if you do make those choices. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.